We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
She don't care about my car, and she don't care about my money.
This is what we get when we tell Nick we want licensed music coming back from break. We never know what we're going to get now. It's a pleasant surprise that we continue broadcasting live from St. Joe, site of...
I was hoping you were going to sing there.
Training. Yeah, you know me. I was just... What would you have done? That would have been a complete stunner for you if I just started
I thought it was a
song.
Huge hit when we started doing little karaoke coming back from breaks last week.
The one time, you mean?
We did twice.
I did you twice?
Okay. And I could do this whole song for the
so
record.
So could I. I don't know why.
We are inside the St. Joe, Missouri Visitors Bureau tent. Experience history. Go to STJOMO.com. Pete Sweeney, the editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride, our Chiefs insider, is going to join us in the next 5 to 10 minutes or so. He'll make his way over here as soon as he wraps up what he needs to work on there in the media tent. And while we have a second before we get right back into the Chiefs, the Royals over the weekend, one of the more entertaining series we've had in quite some time, and now they'll get the White Sox coming up again. But Nick Prado, of course, kind of headlining that on what would have been Saturday night.
Saturday for the walk-off home run.
And then yesterday, it was all about the young guys. That's really all you got now as far as RBI. And MJ Melendez picking up 6 RBI for this baseball team.
Well, 11 of their RBI coming from rookies yesterday in a resounding win.
Look, this is when the second half of the season began. Said the only way that I'm going to value any results in the win-loss column in the second half of the season is if the young guys are actually the reason for that. And the way the lineup's constructed now, it's almost impossible for them not to be the reason.
It can't be, unless Salvador Perez has 10 RBI in a game.
So it's what I want to see, but it's not altering my, like, expectations for 23. Now, is it making me more excited about Melendez and Nick Prado and Bobby Wood Jr.? Sure, and we've talked a lot about Brady Singer in the last week or so. Yes, that is all true, but from a grand scheme of things, no. I mean, this group of players that they have currently on the roster heading into next season, I don't believe my expectations for win-losses have changed.
Here's the thing. It's more than just the second. It's not like post-All-Star break or that. It's about 60 games of this. 60 games of playing a lot of super young players. You go back and you look at those first 30, 40 games, and yeah, there's nothing like about that roster. They weren't playing well. They had a bunch of aging veterans who weren't doing a good job. I can actually let this skew me a little. The baby Royals can skew me a little. And a lot of that is because it actually makes me believe in some of their processes again. The problem I've had since 2015 is not that they've made every wrong decision. It's that when they got 4 years past 2015, in 2019, when they had to revamp everything, you couldn't be sure it was going to actually work. And there's two things at play. They've revamped their pitching at that time and their hitting at that time. One is showing, one is bearing fruit. And the other one has taken a much longer time to actually show. Now, if you want to go in the recency bias standard, you could take a month sample size and you could pull up some pretty good ERAs for Lynch and Singer and Bubich, but you're going to need to see way more of those guys. The reason why I keep believing in every new offensive player who shows up is the track record keeps playing itself out. Bobby Wood Jr. comes up, performs. Michael Massey comes up, performs. Nick Prado shows up, performs. And I know that everybody has a varying degree of struggle or anything that hits it, because, like, you know, Pasquantino's batting average is still kind of low. But then his hard hit rate is incredible. So it just, to me, it all goes back to the same thing, that is, that process is working. Which means if all the only thing to talk me into next year fully is, make a big move. You want me to buy in, make one big offseason move that proves to me you're serious about winning. Because if we go into the offseason and you sign some Homer Bailey type, some left-handed bat, I'm out. I'm not going to believe maybe, that that's the year. But if you make an aggressive move with minor leaguers you like or major leaguers you like in order to do it, then I can start getting talked back into this.
Yeah, I guess it depends on to what extent you're saying you're bought back in or your expectations for next season, even if there is a big move this offseason. Maybe I'm just a scorned lover at this point in time when it comes to Royals baseball, Cody, but I'm still going to have to see it next season before you're going to see me or hear me, I should say, talking in March or something of next year, even if they go out and sign a legit number one pitcher or somebody like that.
That's what it would take.
I don't think you're going to hear me in March saying, oh, man, I think this team is going to be in the playoff, huh? Like that's just not going to happen. I'm going to actually have to truly see them go out and do that. I'm sorry, it's been far too many years at this point, and still a ton of questions. And it goes back to the reliance still on young players, even if this second half of the season and the last 60 games and all this have been featuring a lot of the young guys already. It still is relying on a group of young players to be playing games that matter, which they still aren't in games that they still are not playing in games that quote unquote matter. And that's an adjustment. So I won't change my real expectation until I see them perform when people are actually expecting them to win. Nobody's expecting them to win right now.
No,
we're expecting and hoping that the young players are going to continue to excel and develop. That's fine. We should be at that point this year. But I'm just saying there's a difference if we get into next season and they get off to a nice start somehow in April, May, and then people start to think, wow, they might actually be able to do something. How do they perform at that level? We don't know how that works yet. So I'm not willing to adjust what I think they can be in 20.
They only have $40 million in cap commitments. That's it. $40 million in salary. Now, look, they're going to pay some arbitration guys, so maybe it's 50.
Yeah, this was football.
$50 million, that's it. Drop $45 million and go be good. Because what you're talking about is you don't have to rely on an entire team full of 25-year-olds. You could actually center him around a couple of older players that you can trust. In addition to it, if you're willing to take a chance. Look, I'm not going to do it unless they spin big this offseason, make a big trade, and actually risk something. If they don't, then they're telling you where they are, and they're going to do exactly what you're saying. They're going to spend an entire year trying to play young players with actual expectation. Now, we expect you to be better. We expect you to get better. We expect you to compete early on in the season. And let's see if they're the 2012 or 2013 Royals when all those young guys started to come up. And we still got a couple more years before the big spend comes. But if they actually commit to it, they throw their hat in the ring, then I will take them seriously.
If this was football, I'd be way more excited with you telling me that they only have $40 million or $50 million on the books because they'd be actually knowing for sure
they're not obligated to spend any more than
that. That's great that they only have $40 or $50 on the books. I don't know how much they're going to spend. This is going to be another offseason where to this point in time, in general, with how John Sherman's operated, he's operated through COVID and everything like this and is still, if you consider what some other owners may have done in his very similar position, he's still been, I won't say you use the word aggressive, but they've taken care of guys they need to take care of. They've operated through the pandemic and for a guy that just took over the team with no fans in attendance and all that. But this will be the first offseason where I think people are really questioning or wondering,
How much
are you willing to spend on the team directly payroll-wise, knowing where they're situated currently, knowing that, let's not kid ourselves, knowing that they're trying to get a stadium done. It's going to get done either way, but it definitely helps with the fan perception if suddenly the team is turning a corner knowing that the stadium and the taxpayers are going to be asked to pay money in a year or two. Now, the downtown stadiums happen. They could lose 100 games next year, and the downtown stadium's still going to happen. But it definitely still helps, I guess, makes people feel better at fan perception if the team is showing signs next year of turning a corner, knowing that in 25 or 26 they might be playing in a brand-new stadium downtown.
You do wonder how much the next 6 weeks will factor into his decision-making for spending.
Could, yeah.
Because he's already decided on the stadium. John Sherman wants the stadium. John Sherman's going to get the downtown stadium one way or the other. It's going to happen. So just accept that fate now. You can hate it or not, but it's going to happen. But what will be interesting is if this team, let's say, because right now essentially what they've been doing, what I said with all these young players, is for 50 games they've been playing about 500 baseball. What if over the next 6 weeks they play 600 baseball? Right? Winning baseball. Because right now they are still stuck in math where they're not doing anything differently that stands out. You know, they're just playing okay baseball. Good job for not losing too much. Like, if they actually start putting it together and it's not just young players trying to be good and all of a sudden it's, all these players are clicking together in a moment, then we're probably having a very different conversation, Gold. So that I think will be interesting.
We're broadcasting live here at Chiefs training camp. Practice wrapped up on a much lighter day today, 10-10-10 practice. That means Pete Sweeney joining us a little bit earlier today.
Hey.
After the work there. Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride. What's going on, man?
Hey, am I good there?
Yes. You are good,
yeah,
to go.
It's good to be. How much cooler is it today?
This is awesome outside.
It's cool the rest of the way.
I was saying, we could have got by with jeans today.
I know. There are those rare days in camp where it's a little chilly, and I feel like the weather in St. Joe sometimes is just different than the rest of the world, and we got this overcast, rainy type of day, much cooler. You know that the players appreciate the lighter workout after a couple days in pads here.
One of the things that I thought was interesting from just following your tweets even during practice as well is all eyes continue to be kind of focused on the O-line and what's going on at right tackle after seeing Andrew Wiley maybe splitting some of the time there today.
Yeah, you know what caught me off guard is we've just, you know, assumed that this interior is locked in. And what I would tell you is that it seems like the left side is locked. So you go Humphrey and then you have Tooney. And Brown, even Brown checked out for a little bit today. But then you've been seeing some different combinations, even with Trey Smith coming off today. Hmm. So the line started with Wiley at right tackle, which is what we've seen next to Smith. After half the series, Wiley didn't come off the field. He slid over to right guard, and that allowed Jaron Christian to play right tackle. Now, I think Trey Smith is the right guard in his team. It looks like they're working some different combinations, and in the case of an injury, you want to get guys different reps at the position. And the battle at right tackle, we thought it was going to be Wiley versus the rookie Kennard, and to me it's seeming more and more like it's Wiley versus Christian, where maybe Kennard gets this red shirt type of role where he can develop a little bit, get stronger, and then maybe he competes for the position next year. Now, it's a long camp. We got three preseason games. We'll see, but that's just what I feel like the team is thinking right now.
Should we be writing off Niang's career?
Well, he hasn't been on the field.
KC, how about that?
Hasn't been on the field.
Ever.
And he's on the PUP, and there are some concerning injuries over there right now, right? Like, Fenton was a key player for this team. Niang, it seems like he took that COVID year off and
that was maybe the worst thing.
Could never really, like, get into a rhythm, and you wonder just what's going to happen with him. I think he'll be on PUP to start the year, and then we'll see how the line does, and that gets you to believe they might have changed it to week four, had been week six. He'll miss the beginning of the season, in my opinion, and then we'll see how the line is doing once he is available, once he's able to get back in that mix. But Jody Fortson is another guy who's missed a lot of practices here.
It's still not up.
And there's no other way to say that. If you're a Chiefs fan, that stinks, because he was looking really, really good prior to injuring that quad.
I guess that's really – it's.
He's not going to play Saturday now, the way things are trending. He has guys in practice in five, right?
I don't know at this stage why you'd play him on Saturday. I'd imagine they're looking, and I don't know this for sure. This is, you know, just generally speaking in the preseason. I imagine they're looking for the first practice after that game. Just, you're being overcautious. You know that Jody's going to make this team. Now, I think, you know, that you're pretty sure he is going to make it.
I was going to say, you said you know he's going to – because – yeah, you're probably right. You said you know he's going to make the team.
Well,
you sure?
He got. I go back to that initial weekend where he got the Veterans Day off with Mahomes. I just
True.
Think they know what they have in Jody. Now, the problem that he's running into right now, and this is something I didn't expect, is Noah Gray and another lesser-known tight end, Jordan Franks, to look as good as they do. And I don't know what is going to happen with the tight end room. It's hard to wrap your head around them keeping three, but I don't know how they don't keep four. And then what happens with these other guys who have shown out a little bit? So a very interesting scenario kind of developing at that tight end position.
I think one thing you talked about over the weekend was Isaiah Pacheco, which we know is the running back. Everybody falls in love with undrafted running backs or late drafted running backs because they could instantly become starters in
James
the NFL.
Robinson.
That's how it works all the time. Is there a realistic chance he comes a second? I think we pointed out when Ronald Jones got signed, they paid him little enough that they're not beholden to him. That's one thing I try to remember with him.
I know. You know what? I turned to someone in the media tent today, and I was like, I don't think Ronald Jones is making this team. I mean, we didn't really even see him at practice today until toward the end, and it was with the second team. Now, there have been previous days where he's the second running back to touch the football, so I don't think that is, you know, in stone, written in ink, yada, yada. But as you figure out, like I just mentioned the tight ends, I think there's talented enough receivers on this team that they're going to keep six receivers. that's already 10. I don't think you can keep four running backs then. And if Ronald Jones is buried in a sense, you know what McKinnon can do. He was your best running back in the playoffs last year for a lot of reasons. I think they signed Jones as a safety net. They were able to get McKinnon back. And I just think that the numbers game is not on the side of Jones. And so many people are excited about Pacheco. And I changed my mind about Pacheco. I thought he would just be this kick returner, RB3, maybe an RB4 for this team if they did keep four. I'm starting to think he could come out of preseason and camp being the number two guy, whereas McKinnon might be that change of pace guy. I really think the Chiefs are high on Pacheco. I think a lot of people in that building feel like they may have another Kareem Hunt on their hands. So I don't think he's winning the starting job coming out of camp, but I think RB2 is certainly a possibility. And I think by the end of the season, maybe there is a change of, I'm talking like week eight, yeah, week nine. Maybe there is a change at guard if Pacheco puts out film in these games. That's just undeniable, and he has to touch the ball.
That's why I want to see Saturday, because it's one thing at practice. And like, no, it's Saturday, which we know he's going to get a lot of playing
100%.
Time. If on Saturday he shows out and does on the practice on the game field what he's been doing here on the practice field so far, then everything you just said, you're going to, like, everybody's going to start saying exactly what you're saying. You're out in front of everybody on that if that's the case.
I think there are two players that are really exciting to watch on Saturday, and Pacheco is one of them because, you know, talk is talk, camp is camp. Another jersey, you can really tell what a player can do, but Sky Moore is another one. And, look, this is a meaningless preseason game, but there's going to be a lot of Chiefs fans watching on Saturday that if these guys show out, it is going to be very exciting in Kansas City.
To me, it's or Karlaftis.
You're going to wish that you had a show on Sunday. Like, I think you guys are really going to be pumped for Monday. Karlaftis is another one as well. I think the eyes are on McDuffie, but to me, these offensive weapons. I mean, how long has it been since the Kansas City could get excited about a new offensive weapon? And there's two possibilities there. So I think that's a cool part of it.
Do you think postseason sacks or lack thereof from Chris Jones matters? He said, I have a postseason ring.
My guy,
I don't care about sacks, and I'll get one if that'd make you all happy.
Thank God there was some media members in between me and Aaron, or Chris Jones and Aaron Ladd, because I wonder if Chris Jones would have tried to tackle him. Yeah, he didn't love that question. I didn't think Aaron was really attacking him or anything like that. He was just bringing it up. But look, Chris Jones has a point, and I think a lot of these guys, like, especially in the offensive side of the football, we care about numbers because of fantasy. They don't really care about numbers if they're winning games. Now, I think Chris Jones wants to have a lot of sacks this year. I think he'd love to have postseason sacks. But, man, when you get a Super Bowl ring, and I remember watching Chris in Miami and being like, this is not going to be it. You know, we're going to be a dynasty. That's the most important thing to him. And, obviously, he was willing to express that to Aaron. And the rest of us.
Talking to Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider.
I didn't ask it, it's not me.
The editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride.
He's probably just mad he didn't get a snow cone today because he had to go do the
beer. Yeah.
Grumpy.
Today,
grumpiness.
Today maybe not the best day for the snow cones with the weather we have out here as well. I will say, I think when you had your initial 53-man roster projection, one of the things that stood out, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I'm messing it up, but
no.
I don't believe you thought DeAndre Baker was not going to make the team.
Right.
He ends up getting cut, so that's not surprising. But the fact that he didn't make it to the first preseason game, is that surprising to you? Or is it just that, hey, Williams is, hey, he's really standing out and it's getting even tougher to get on the field?
You know what? This team went out and traded for Lonnie Johnson. They drafted five defensive backs. DeAndre had a lot of opportunities here, you know, before all of that happened, and he could never really break through. I think some of that stemmed from the injury. You know, this was something that I asked out Andy Reid about in the presser, and Andy reiterated he's a good kid. It's just a numbers thing, and I you know, you look at who gets the opportunities when he leaves. I think the Chiefs are high on Jalen Watson. They had him mixing with the first team last week. It's been back to Joshua Williams with Fenton out. I believe they like DiCaprio Boodle. I believe that they need to see what they have in Nazi Johnson. You might be keeping a number of safeties just based upon special teams numbers. I think the Chiefs established, okay, this is a player who's not going to make our roster, but he could probably make another roster. So let's move on. Let's lean into our younger players. And it gives Baker an opportunity maybe to try to catch on in a better situation where the numbers aren't so deep. The Chiefs have done a nice job, like, looking at where they were weak. They've rebuilt the offensive line in a year. And they knew they needed defensive backs with Tre'Davious Ward leaving in free agency. So they threw a lot of numbers at the position. And, what, you can only keep five or six of these guys. And I just think Baker was probably more in the eight or nine range for them. And they moved on and are working in other guys. They signed a defensive end. They brought in a receiver. So they're working those numbers at other positions because I just think this was a camp with too many defensive backs. And maybe Baker can make a 53 elsewhere.
Are you disappointed we're not playing the career high game today for your appearance?
No, thank goodness.
Nobody told me Ooh. Pete was going to come on this early, so I would have had it
ready for him. We took it out of the rundown to begin with. It's not on the Chiefs Red half hour.
No, I thought you guys just forgot, so I was going to prepare one anyway.
I'm a little unsure about why that game exists. Nick and I, we spent the other night together, and he goes, you want to come over and play this golf simulator? By the way, Nick lives – I'm not going to reveal your place in the air, but Nick lives in a palace now.
That's brand new.
And these scoundrels, right, Nick? They broke the golf simulator.
No, you're the scoundrel.
You broke the golf simulator in his complex?
No.
Just opened it.
Nick's going to have an expensive bill on his next month's rent.
So we didn't get to play. So I wonder if it was set up because Nick maybe was a little bit scared of getting embarrassed and an upset.
I've seen you swing a golf club.
Nick, you have other pending legal matters involving other people's property.
I have zero pending legal matters.
Oh, that's been resolved?
What are you talking about?
He's talking about something that happened.
Wait, what?
He's talking about, you know, the rental. The rental.
Yeah.
You took a trip to a golf course and there was a rental property that may or may not have suffered some damage. Is that a pending legal matter or not?
No, it is not. It has been resolved.
Oh!
Okay, all right. Breaking news. Nick's pending legal matter.
Nick's got this.
Get off this interview and phone the cops.
We reached a settlement. We reached a financial settlement.
Any appeal process going on? Have you appointed anybody? No. Okay.
We decided to keep the lawyers out of this.
Wow, smart.
Okay. Wait, did I ever tell that story on the air?
I don't think so, because at the time you didn't want to discuss it because it wasn't yet settled.
No, we did talk about it because everybody on the text line was like, oh, you'll be fine. Like, I'm a carpenter. Like, that sort of thing happened. Remember?
Maybe for those who haven't heard it,
go ahead and tell them now.
Maybe Nick's going to have a career high for jail time.
when I was down in Tulsa for the PGA Championship a couple of months ago, we snapped off a massive piece. I wouldn't say we snapped it off. A piece of these people's countertop snapped off. And they tried to hold us financially responsible, to which we said, there's no way a grown man can break a piece of granite simply by leaning on it. And it's a countertop, by the way, you morons. So they tried to charge us like $15,000 to replace it. To which we said, absolutely not.
Wow.
So insurance companies got involved, and it's been taken care of.
Golf's a gentleman's game, and it's pretty clear that Nick isn't a gentleman.
What does that have nothing to do with golf, Pete?
Why do all of your personal property issues revolve around golf? Broken golf simulators?
Right. Yeah,
broken
the geese.
Countertops?
It doesn't.
Geese? Why do all your problems surround golf?
It's because golf is a hobby of mine, so I am often golfing, so it's just a numbers game.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us, Pete.
All right, see you guys.
That's Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider from Arrowhead Pride. Stops by after practice throughout Chiefs training camp, and sometimes we talk football, sometimes we talk legal matters involving Nick. You just never know what you're going
to
get.
I'm done having Pete on, by the way. We don't need to hear from him anymore. He continues to come on the air and besmirch my name, my good name, mind you.
He does besmirch
And I've done nothing to him. I've done nothing other than prop him up.
Well, maybe it's your turn to return. Plus, you can redeem yourself with some notes.
Gotta write something down. Nick's notable notes.
All right, guys. Big news happening in the world of science. Woolly mammoths. Love them or hate them? Answer me that.
They seem kind of cool. They're like big fuzzy elephants. What's not to like?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a strong opinion on them, I'll be honest.
Like, that's interesting.
Sure, yeah.
So woolly mammoths were actually the reason why they've sort of become one of the more popular of the prehistoric era age of animals is because they were the first animals that we as humans learned about being extinct because they lived about 4,000 years ago, so there were already humans roaming the planet. So we actually... Like, there's a history of humans actually coexisting with woolly mammoths. No more, though, right? They're all dead, but we keep finding fossils everywhere. In fact, about a month ago, researchers up in the permafrost, which is like the Yukon area way up north in Canada by the North Pole, found a basically fully intact fossil of a baby woolly mammoth. And now a Texas-based research company, which has raised $15 million from venture capitalists, including the Winklevoss twins, are engaging in an experiment to try to recreate the woolly mammoth and repopulate the earth with woolly mammoths.
Why?
Has anyone Why? Ever watched a single horror movie? This is the third story this year that is horrifying for a variety of reasons. There's Let's Bring Back Woolly Mammoths, like it's Jurassic Park. There was the story from 2 weeks ago that said a pig was dead for an hour. They then injected it with cells and it came back to life. Like, well, that sounds horrifying.
Well, pigs
that
aren't killing
like
people.
Woolly mammoths
why are we bringing,
and then
why
the
are
murder
we,
robots.
Why are
constantly
we,
building murder robots.
Why are we trying to bring pigs back to life that have been, quote unquote, dead for an hour? Why are we doing that?
Well, I'll tell you why they're trying to do this. The name of this company is called Colossal, and they believe that bringing back woolly mammoths can help the world, actually.
How?
Okay, so what they're going to do is they're going to take the DNA of this woolly mammoth, they're going to combine it with the DNA of the Asian elephant, which is also endangered. They're going to make an embryo, they're going to implant it inside an Asian elephant, and then they're going to de-extinct the species. And what these mammoths are going to do is they're going to populate, you know, the part of the world where they were already living, the permafrost, up north, way up north in Canada, where there's basically no other types of wildlife. And in turn, they're going to avert its melting water by turning wet tundra into dried grasslands that will better sequester carbon. I'm obviously reading directly
what
from the article
hell?
At this point.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That will reflect sunlight, keeping the permafrost cooler and helping thereby to save
so you're
the
saying,
planet.
So you're saying the woolly mammoths coming back to life are going to save the environment.
They're going to help global warming, which may or may not be a hoax. We're not going to get into that here.
What Chris Pratt made for Amazon Prime movie plot are you reading?
No, this
to
is
us?
Not going to be Chris Pratt. This is going to be Liam Neeson, and you know it. Like, Liam Neeson is going to star as the scientist who goes up there
thinking,
and gets attacked by woolly mammoths.
I was thinking Dennis Quaid was going to make an appearance as well.
In order to save
Gold,
planet Earth.
Gold, you're just thinking. The only reason you said Dennis Quaid is because you're thinking Day,
day
after,
after
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yes.
Great movie.
Yes, it is a great movie.
Great movie, Strong. I will
very,
watch it.
That's a it's very
a,
good
it's
movie.
A classic cinema.
Day After Tomorrow, Armageddon. They're all, I mean, we're talking, yeah, they're
you
right
like
there,
end of
man.
The world movies.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Dante's Peak?
I actually haven't seen that one.
Is that the one
think.
With Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, I have seen that
Pierce
thing.
Brosnan
yes.
the volcano?
Yes, yes.
That's
yes.
good
from
one.
The 90s?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Any sort
I'd like
of
actually all the people we mentioned, the stars of all that movie, to combine to be in this movie about the woolly mammoth.
It sounds like a, I mean, it sounds like a bad idea still, even if the.
Why? Dude, eventual dude, it's not like they're trying to bring back the T-Rex. They're bringing back the woolly mammoth. Like, that seems like a pretty safe place to
Feels
start.
Feels like the next thing you do after that, after it works, is what about T-Rexes?
Or the saber-toothed tiger?
We have a real Jurassic Park.
They're going to accidentally uncover some sort of super smallpox that the woolly mammoth gives us all.
Yeah, but there's like, the woolly mammoth is pretty close to the elephant. There's nothing that resembles a T-Rex or a raptor. You know what I mean?
Alligators, maybe? That's about as good as we've got.
Can you imagine, like, a. You already see the videos of, like, those 40-foot alligators walking around the Florida swampland. Can you imagine just, like, a 100-foot, 2-foot-tall alligator?
Are you trying to just get your ball out of the rough? You're like, well, nope. I'm
Bye! I'm dead now.
I'm not taking a drop for this. This is an unplayable lie.
That's Nick's Notable Notes.
Thank you, Nick. We continue broadcasting here in St. Joe, and we'll get back into some Chiefs football. The Chiefs Red Half Hour coming up next. And that offensive line, we heard from Creed Humphrey a week or so ago when he joined us here, and we asked him how good can they be. Well, can they be the best in the league? Cody says yes. We'll get to that next.
Cody and Gold, live from training camp, presented by Ingredion, located in North Kansas City. Learn more about a career at Ingredion.com. Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour as we continue broadcasting from St. Joe, from Chiefs training camp, the only station, only show in the city broadcasting right next to the practice field is 610 Sports Radio. We're inside the St. Joe, Missouri Visitors Bureau tent. Experience history. Go to stjomo.com. Com. So as I had mentioned, we had Creed Humphrey on the show last week. Creed actually also spoke to the media at the podium earlier today as well. And we asked him, you know, what they want this offensive line to be this year. Trey Smith, when he joined us, mentioned that he's still got a lot to work on. We were just talking to Pete Sweeney about the right side of the offensive line, maybe a little more question because of right tackle. And Sure. Is it going to be Wiley? Is it going to be Christian? Doesn't seem like Kennard is getting any work with the ones or twos, so probably not going to be.
Still on the pup list.
And the Yang's on the pup list. But this offensive line last year was pretty damn good with a rookie center and a rookie right guard. Now you get year two Creed, year two Trey Smith, year two in the system Orlando Brown Jr. You know Tooney's the one guy you don't have to worry about at all on this offensive line. The question is at right tackle, but there's a chance where this offensive line is better than it was a year ago, even if Andy Reid mentioned when we played that last segment that Creed Humphrey, now that there's more film on him, he's got some adjustments to make because teams now are ready for him, as he was one of the best centers, if not the best center in our mind, in football.
I think it is already a top five offensive line in the NFL, and I think there's a pretty good chance at the end of the year we're going to say it's the best. I know that feels like lofty expectations for a team that is still trying to kick around who is going to be at right tackle, but I'll be honest with you, I don't think it's much of a mystery. I think it is going to be Trey Smith at right guard and it is going to be Andrew Wiley at right tackle. I think they're moving other guys around to ensure their depth. And there are teams with better left tackles overall and probably better right tackles overall. But the collection of the group, there is no one that has a better offensive line than that. The only one I would even maybe kick around, the only two, I guess, that I would kick around that I think will finish better than Kansas City is maybe Baltimore and Green Bay. Green Bay, because they've consistently proven it. David Bakhtiari is one of the best left tackles in football. They've consistently proven it. But the Ravens, their starting center just had a re-injury of his Liz Frank injury. They're not calling it a tear, but for whatever you thought they might be, now they aren't that. And I think that if you just look at Kansas City, it's that they're balanced at both. They are going to be good at both. They have drafted, they were already the number two pass block team last season. And I think that given time, Orlando Brown Jr., Tooney and the two rookies, that sounds like the perfect ingredient for a top five run blocking offensive line. So if you have a top five pass blocking offensive line and a top five run blocking offensive line, guess what you are? The best offensive line. Like it's not that big of a leap. Your only concern, in my opinion, is right tackle. And we saw Andrew Wiley last year that, especially surrounded by talent, he's not a problem.
There's a lot of things working in their favor, right? Last year, this offensive line, as you got to the midway point of the season, they got better play from Orlando Brown Jr. Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey established themselves as two of the better interior guys. Joe Tooney has already been one of the best left guards in all of football. And then Andrew Wiley last year did a nice job filling in at right tackle, and now it looks like they're going to ask him to play potentially 17 games. That'd be my only question as well. 17 games of Andrew Wiley, does he get exposed across 17 versus 5 or 6 plus games? That's something to watch. Sounds like that's why they're also working Christian as well, to have some options if all of a sudden the performance is not at a high enough level. We know Andy Reid and Andy Heck, when it comes to a certain area on the field, that they're willing to make changes in season. It's definitely all line. Some of it's been by force, but because of injury. But a couple years ago, not long before they drafted Creed Humphrey, the whole Daniel Kilgore, offensive line, Austin Ryder, like there was a few games they basically benched Austin Ryder for Daniel Kilgore because they were unhappy with what they were getting from Ryder. And they flipped.
That's having a guard, too, and it's not just
center. So they're willing, if all of a sudden, we've acknowledged Andrew Wiley did a very nice job, very serviceable job at right tackle last year when they need him. But if they get 4 weeks into the season and they think they can do better at right tackle, they're willing to make the switch with Christian or whoever, right, playing some right tackle. But their jump that's needed to become the best isn't that large because of what you were breaking down there. I think Orlando Brown Jr. is going to continue to get better. The one thing that's been noticeable about him out here, he's thinner. He seems like a little quicker on his feet. That was an issue for him with how Mahomes plays at left tackle. You know, he didn't have the foot, and so maybe that helps him. So does he improve? Joe Tooney, again, don't have to worry about him. Creed Humphrey, maybe some new challenges are presented, as Andy Reid was alluding to.
Yeah, he said they're going
to
learn how to play him. But I mean,
Creed Humphrey's the real deal. This guy's going to be in the league for 10-plus years. He's going to be an all-pro eventually, get a pro bowler. Eventually.
And you're not just saying that because we like Creed Humphrey.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be
fairly obvious. He's that type of player.
He's going to be in this league for a very long time. Trey Smith, continue to hopefully improve. The question is right tackle, but I think there's three, four spots you could argue that each player is going to make improvements. I do think Orlando Brown Jr. will be a better player this year. I do think Trey Smith will be a better player, believe it or not, than he was a year ago.
I Yeah. I mean, what's the logic in them not being, right? I mean, and, you just assume and, that – I mean, guys, look, I've said this before. People do get worse.
Yeah.
I'm not pretending like players don't get worse. I'm not saying they don't even if they just stay the same, though. For a minute, let's just say they stay the same. They were a top 10 offensive line last year.
Right, right.
And that was before Orlando Brown Jr. And Joe Tooney had another year in this offense. And it's the entire unit together. If there is one thing that I have to believe, just based on the sheer number of coaches who coach football have told me, it is that offensive lines need time. They need snaps together as a unit over time to get better. That's just how, that's why we talk about Green Bay's offensive line the way that we do. They've all been together. Ronnie Stanley and Linderbaum, like in the rate, all been together. Those are the ones. By the way, I'm not alone. ESPN, Bill Barnwell put out, or sorry, Seth Walder put out an analytical article that ranked what he projected to be the offensive line. He has the Chiefs number one, Green Bay two, Philly three, the Broncos fourth, and Baltimore five. The good news about the Broncos is that Russell Wilson will ruin that anyway because he runs into sacks. But, I mean, you know going into it, the offensive line already ranks near the top of the league. I'm just saying they have a chance to be number one.
I think it's a good point over on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. It says, hey, I think there's a – from the 785, I think there's a good chance that Mahomes is better as well. He had a lot of chance to step up in the pocket. We did talk about that a season ago. Is there a chance that not only does Orlando Brown Jr. Help being a little quicker perhaps with his footwork and help Mahomes, but Mahomes knows this O-line a little bit better. Maybe Mahomes in his own right making some adjustments. I know there was a
getting
piece
rid of the ball faster.
From Kevin Clark in the Ringer. We'll talk more about maybe tomorrow on the show that just came out earlier this morning about some of the adjustments that Mahomes is making. So there is a chance that also can contribute to making this thing work a little bit better on the offensive line. But if we're going through the concerns with this team, certainly offensive line is not – it's amazing how quickly that shifted, right? How that's not at all near the top or anywhere of concerns. Right tackle will be something to watch, but I just feel like they've shown time and time again at that right tackle spot with Andy Heck as their O-line coach, they've been able to have multiple guys play right tackle as long as you got your starting left tackle going. When they need a fill-in at right tackle or a guy that's not having a long-term future, they've done well there, and I know around 12:30 we'll talk more about what you should hope should actually occur, though, over the next couple weeks at camp for that right tackle spot with Christian compared to Andrew Wiley. But they've been able to make that right tackle spot work with both of these guys. Hopefully we'll have a chance to talk to Andrew Wiley at some point. We got to rip some packs with him.
Well, if we find out we're going to get Andrew Wiley, we'll go pick up – remember last time we tried to get
packs
last minute?
Rip some packs, man. He's
and
still
ripping packs. We started trying to get some packs last minute. We had no luck.
Do you guys think he sees you every single day broadcasting and all the different players walking up and sitting down with you guys, and he remembers that conversation from last year? Like,
no.
When am I finally going to get to come through on that promise that they gave
me? I don't think
me?
I'm going to have a nice enough pack of cards for him. You know, he's buying a lot nicer
what's
packs
a, what's
of cards.
A, what's a nice – what's a run-of-the-mill nice pack of cards? Like, you've
NFL?
Got a good chance of getting a good hit.
Wow, that's I mean, NFL, some of the new stuff that's come out, if you want to get the non-retail version, you probably need to spend well over $100 easily.
For a pack?
Yeah.
Like a single pack?
Well, for a box, it'd be – well, not eight. We're not going to just rip one single pack. We need to buy a box that has multiple packs. One pack is going to be boring. You're not going to – one single pack, a hanger pack, I can get that for $20 or $30.
Yeah, I'm saying
okay.
Let's
rip one pack with
well, him. Let's just get some bad ones for us and then get him one good pack.
Okay.
What are we going to do with it? If he gets a good card, is it ours?
Yeah, it's ours.
By the way, this is not what we've been asking for show
friends.
As a
I
reminder, we do have a bartending experience. We do have a bartending challenge
next
coming
month.
Up soon.
I think if he confronted you on air and was – if he rips it open and gets it, I don't think he's going to just be like, here you guys go.
He'll be like, can I keep it? I'll be like, are you selling it or are you keeping it? He says, I'm going to sell it. Well, let's split
the profit.
I think that's only fair. He's also an NFL player making millions of dollars.
Well, between the three of us, I mean, Cody's
salary. Who bought the pack? Who bought the pack is the question. That's – see, that Andrew might agree
no,
with us.
No, see,
on that
that's
one.
Not pa- that's
pack.
Not that's not pack ripping protocol, Gold. Pack
Someone
ripping
says
protocol. It's not about who bought the pack. It's about who ripped the pack.
No, but if we bought the pack so he can rip it with us, then I think there's an agreement. Text line says the NFT thing is still happening. No, we're not talking about
NFTs.
Yeah,
we're not really sure about that.
We're not talking about NFTs. We're talking about physical ripping packs, physical packs of cards. Anyway, last year we did have Andrew Wiley on the show, and he's a big fan of rip. He's been in the Pokemon and all that stuff. If we have Andrew Wiley on at some point, maybe I need to just go buy a pack card just to have in my backpack for the rest
just
of camp,
nice,
just in case.
Well, and if for some reason we don't get him for the 6 days, we can do it on the show. we can open the nice 20 or 30. I'll send you with the show debit card.
Can I have the
we're
show debit card,
We're saving up for
please?
More. We're
can I take the show card out?
We're actually saving Thank up for you. Some real, more important things, but I'll let you buy one pack. I guess, is this a vote?
I'll
How does this work,
the,
Nick? Our show debit card, is it a two-thirds vote?
Let me run
or does
the,
it have to be all
no,
three people
unanimous.
Agree?
Unanimous.
Unanimous?
Let me just.
Can we spend $20 on some cards?
It's going to be more than 20 bucks, though.
Daddy, can we spend $20
Okay,
stop.
The hell was that? Was completely uncalled for.
It's going to be more than 20 bucks, but I let me go to the card store, pick some up a decent pack after work today at the card store, and then, yeah. Someone says, what if he gets an auto of himself? With all due respect to Andrew Wiley, there are no autographed Andrew Wiley in-pack cards on Earth. You might be able to get a
you
a
know
card
for a fact.
In-pack? Yes. Now, can you have him physically sign a card that he autographs? Yes, and so therefore someone might have an autographed Wiley card. 100% that. But in a pack, if you go buy a pack of cards at any store, there's not. They have a checklist of players. Offensive linemen to begin with, guys, usually aren't in there, let alone a guy that's not been a starter throughout his career, let alone one that's autographed. So, no, I'm very confident in saying that's not going to be pulled out of a pack.
In my very quick Google search, it would appear that Gold is correct, that in-pack Andrew Wiley autograph or jersey cards don't exist.
There's not, like, Trent Williams. Yeah, like, Trent Williams, best left tackle in football. There's not a bunch of Trent Williams cards out there necessarily. Anyway.
Skill positions only. Is that what you're telling us?
Usually.
Here?
Well, usually. There's a few defensive players, but you also, because value-wise, people aren't wanting offensive lineman cards. Like, we have a Creed Humphrey card from the Panini Bowl, or the rookie senior bowl.
Yeah, it got signed. Someone
but
got it in the garage.
He signed it in person with us. It wasn't already signed. That's my point.
I still can't find another example of that. Yeah. That Senior Bowl card even existing.
Someone says buy a box
Might
of cards.
One
normal,
of one.
Normal box 25 to 45.
There's no chance of getting anything good if we just buy some lame ass $20 box. I'd rather spend $30 on a pack and take a chance.
I think you need to give me about a $75
budget. $75
budget,
Nick? Are you hearing this?
Unless the
Gold,
unless my
you're
friends,
asking for a lot, my friend.
Unless my friends at a card store want to hook us up a little bit.
That's more than we spent on Pasquantino. Are we offering up Plugola?
I just did.
Hypothetically.
It's not for me. It's not for me. This is the difference.
Hypothetically, if there was a card shop in Kansas City who was willing to give us a $75 pack for $40, we might mention
said. Oh, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking we'd spend $75 and get $100 and something.
Oh, there you go. Okay, fine.
That's what I was thinking. Anyway.
You need to make some friends in the card community.
Yeah.
Got to make some. One thing I've learned on the show is anytime
I've
we
ask I've kind of
somebody,
gotten out of the, I'm not as into it as I was a year or so ago, I'll be honest.
You got into your political sports gambling instead. That's taking up all your
hobbies. I'm really locked into that. There was cautiously optimistic. Heard a few things on Friday. I told you right as we got off the air about because people have been asking on Twitter about it, and I've heard some good things that people are optimistic, perhaps, that there's a chance we could still have some sports betting up by week one of the NFL season.
I guess the question is, how much do you think we can make in tips?
Off of bartending?
For our bartending thing. Because that's really what's determining where our show fund is right now. Because we're still we're hundreds of dollars
short
of our goal.
Can we just tell the? I mean, at this point, can
we
just tell people,
we say
or no? Or we need to keep it a secret. Can we just say what we're trying to build up to? No,
let's not do it. Because what's okay. the? Why have we kept it a secret for this long?
Okay.
Just to tell them before
well,
we
because
even do it.
I think we're all about building I think we've built the expectation up a little too high.
Oh. You don't think people are going to think it's as cool?
Correct.
As you.
Yeah,
we've never even really hinted at what we're doing.
We have. That's my point. Like
we
just
said, we needed $1,000 or $1,500.
When we've done the Creed video, I think the problem, the expectation is that we're going to do some massive production again, and that's not what this is. I mean,
I'm not saying I won't do that.
No, he's right. He's right, Cody. Because I can tell you what 90% of the response is going to be. It's going to be real.
That's it.
Really?
It's something that will impact the show on a daily basis. If that matters.
And we're doing for you, the listener.
But it's not. Someone said if we know what our money's going towards, we'll be more willing to give if we want some heroes.
Well, we're asking people to come out and get drinks made by us
at
a bar.
I think we tell them what we're trying
to
save
let's
up
say it.
So at some point, we would like to be able to have our show streaming live on Twitch as well through video. We are saving up for the cameras and equipment that we've been researching we need. That's why we've been trying to get some money for the show.
It's as simple as that. Good quality equipment that will make the experience good for you. We think the cameras are $1,000.
Yep, and we're not that far off.
We're $800 and I could tell you the exact amount I get before you buy these cards. Hold on. Let me tell you where we are as of this moment. We raised several of the funds. Really, the funds have been raised through two ways.
The daddy shirts.
The daddy day.
Oh, well, the Bobby Wood Jr. shirts
for daddy day. And then us gambling. That's pretty much where all of the money has been made.
Isn't that great? Yep.
So we haven't asked you for money for no reason. We've just asked you to contribute to there. We are currently at $817.36. We think we need... So we need a couple hundred bucks in tips. So we're going to have to do a good job bartending. That's really what it comes down to.
I don't think we're going to get a couple hundred bucks in tips for 3 hours of bartending.
I mean, if we did a really good job, maybe?
I mean, now they know it's for the camera. Someone says they'll do it if we get a Superbone camera. They just want a camera on your...
Just on my foot?
Someone's got a foot fetish. They just want a camera on Cody's foot during the show. So that's a little weird.
Just so you know, the camera array would include one for a guest. So, I mean, I guess when we don't have a guest on, we could put the camera on them? On the foot? For one show?
I guess. But basically, we want to be able to stream our show live on video, which will be, I think, which will be enjoyable for everybody involved if we have the show streaming on video as well. Another way for you guys to
watch. What's the date on that, the bartending again, Nick?
21st of September, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds right. So Wednesday night, I believe.
It is, yeah.
At Social. Yeah, Social
and Waldo. Nobody gives a bleep about seeing the radio.
Yep, and here we go.
Yep.
This is exactly why I said we shouldn't announce it.
No, this is exactly why I said we should announce it, because you want to have it later or now? Get it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
We think it's really cool, and we want to be able to do cool stuff.
Okay, you know what? Now more texts are coming in, and it's way more positive. There was just that one douche right away who was like, who cares? Everybody else seems to be pretty into it, so okay, cool.
Upgrading the show is a great idea. They'll buy
drinks.
Makes
me feel better.
Yeah.
So really, we're down to $750 if I let Gold use the show debit card to buy us.
I do have the debit card in my hand.
It's in his possession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just send us a text later. Let us know what you're thinking about purchasing.
It just says Cody Tap on there.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, technically, I don't have you. Neither of you are account holders on the.
That's right. We don't want to be tied to that. We'll let you handle tax liability on everything. Yep. You can
That's
handle
probably
that.
Probably for the best. We might have a cash infusion coming from. Why? We don't want to get into this.
Okay. Let's just peel back the curtain on everything. Every little detail.
Nick started
now.
This show saying that we're not a show.
We are.
Let's peel back the curtain for everybody.
People want a snack cam. Whenever Nick's eating, we can just turn the camera right on him.
We were asked to help salespeople get hired. We did the recruitment video, as you might remember, for Odyssey to try to get new salespeople interested in the job. If someone is to be hired, there might be a cash reward in it for us, of which we were going to put towards
the
show
over
fund.
The top.
So that'll put us over the top so we can buy the cameras next week. Now, we don't know if the person's going to get hired. Some of our candidates are going to get hired, but we're working towards that goal. Do we have an update on that?
I think interviews this week.
Ooh, okay. A lot of pressure. Let's put some extra pressure on that guy. Let's pre-interview him.
I hope he's listening right now.
Let's pre-interview him on the show.
You better nail this damn interview. You better take this job if they offer it.
This is important to us. The text line seems like they're mostly cool with the idea.
Someone said they enjoyed seeing us during March Madness when we were at no other pub on video.
See? This could be every day.
And this would be even higher quality video, to be honest.
We could send out little – yeah, because that was a $100 camcorder I paid for myself on Amazon. That was a $100 live streaming camcorder I paid for myself on Amazon 3 days before we were supposed to do the event as we were waiting for other cameras. So we'd like to do it better this time. That's why we had a show budget in mind.
Coming up next, though, we continue broadcasting live here in St. Joe. Chiefs training camp wrapped up about an hour or so ago. We're broadcasting throughout the entirety of camp. And we'll talk about Mecole Hardman on the other side. Something he said over the weekend. Was he playing around with everybody, or was just Mecole Hardman being Mecole Hardman? And what does it mean about his expectations for this season? That's next here on Cody and Gold.
Cody and Gold, live from training camp, presented by Ingredion, located in North Kansas City. Learn more about a career at Ingredion.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed.
follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.